Welcome back. It's been a while. Plumbing secrets and other political trappings. We're back in the saddle, everyone. Missed everybody. This is season 3, episode number 2. And that was our lovely theme song. As always, a shout out to Bill West for his contribution of our theme song. We were gone for a little while. I would love to say it was like Bill Maher and we were taking a vacation in Hawaii, but that was not the case. I'm sorry. I've just been swamped. Plumbing companies going out of business left and right. They're fly-by-night companies everywhere. We have our share of them where I am from. Season 3, Episode 2. It is lovingly entitled, and please, right up front. No, this is a little sarcasm. But it's entitled, I Told You So. So, here we are. I was off for a little bit, just completely swamped, and we're back. And I'm sad to say that if you were to go back through just, you know, a little bit of season 2 and listen through to everything, I told you so. A lot of stuff that I tried to give you heads ups about and warnings about happened and is getting worse, not better. And it's as of, you know, a direct result of our actions, as is everything, right? You know, we try to tell our kids that. And our parents try to tell us too, and you know, the few of us that actually listened, you know, it kind of helped. But there's some things you just have to learn on your own. But the great part about being an adult is that you can learn from your mistakes. You can, if you really want to do well and be successful, you learn from other people's mistakes. So let's start with the supply chain. The broken, disrupted supply chain. It's kind of sad, but as a direct result of things that occurred for a number of years, pretty much, 2017 to, 2020, there were some bad things that happened in 2020, that were not great, but the majority of things that really were disruptive were, through about 2017, 2018, 2019, and it all, kept growing and piling on top of each other, and then we had a pandemic, and all the pandemic really did was speed up what was going to happen anyhow, and that's something that if you want to be objective about everything that's happened, you have to step back. You have to step back and put aside political parties and put aside whoever happened to be in charge. If when you're analyzing something, initially you can't sit there and lay blame. Now, responsibility, trying to figure out, well, who was responsible, doesn't hurt. So you can keep an eye on that person or that individual or that group, whoever they are. But typically that comes last when you're actually analyzing things. That's why your best reviews are blind, where you don't know people's names. Teachers do that all the time. They'll look at essays, and when they're picking an essay, you know, to give it an award or something. And a bunch of kids, if they don't have them, put their names. So there's no, it's, you know, there's no pre-picking somebody you happen to like. It doesn't make that teacher a bad person because they like Johnny. They just know a lot about Johnny and know he really wanted it and he worked really hard. And all that's great and all that's very true. But when you get down to the brass tacks, no, you can't know it was Johnny who wrote it. If you're going to be fair and compare one thing to another, you can't know Johnny wrote it because all that other stuff can't be used to make a fair comparison. And in the same token, I hate to even use his name because I hate the man, but you can't just jump in on Trump everything. No, if you're analyzing things, you have to just look at it objectively and not try to lay blame on everything. But the reality is the time frame, yes, anybody with half a brain or three or four brain cells can narrow that down very quickly and say, well, they were in charge and Republicans had the Congress and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's all great. But what's really more important is to look at the choices and decisions and say, okay, here it is. Here's A, B, and C. And they caused this, which was bad, had a bad outcome. So that's why I make the point to all of you. So you understand the broader scope of things. What we're going through, we were going to go through because of these choices. It just got sped up rapidly because of the pandemic. The pandemic caused a series of events to occur. And, you know, not to oversimplify, but you know, it cramped everybody's style, so to speak, and pinched everybody's pocketbooks, that things happened rapidly. They would have happened anyhow. If we had had a pandemic of this magnitude right after, and I'm sorry, it sounds like I'm picking on the Republicans. I'm not. But it's a good example. If we had had a pandemic right around the time, like a year or so after Reagan had started up with the idiotic idea of trickle-down economics. You know, that's where rich people pee on you. We would have seen the effects really quickly, and we would have gone, what the hell? No, stop peeing on me. But no, that's not how it happened. It happened over a period of years. Bush came in, and then Clinton came in for two terms. And again, Republicans did take a majority. And you know, they were right there perpetuating all this. But, you know, they did manage, in all the mishaps and mistakes, they did manage to balance the budget and actually leave a surplus going into you know, when Bush Jr. came in. And it's not Bush, it wasn't his fault that we had to go to war. It is many people's fault that the war perpetuated. And we all know the various mistakes we made, good, bad, and ugly. We made some good choices too, but none of it was free. Anyhow, using Reagan as an example, trickle-down economics does not work. Okay, whether you like that or not, I don't really care. It's been proven a million times. It does not work. And it would have shown up so fast had we had something like we just did. So the administration that happened to be in office during those years, and the Congress that was in place during those years, they made choices, okay? Good, bad, or ugly, doesn't matter. They made choices. The massive tax cut, okay, it didn't work. and it backfired. And we went into a pandemic, and now we're dealing with these massive supply chain issues. When you couple that with weather events that occurred, multiple weather events, and they were the types of weather events that whether you believe in climate change, all that stuff or not, the number of events that we had occur in such a short period of time were you know, what we refer to as 100-year event or 500-year event, but we kept having multiple of those over and over again. So you can run around and believe that we're not affecting the climate all you want, but I would advise you to stay away from Vegas and any gambling event, and don't gamble on anything because you will lose all your money. You clearly don't understand how the odds work, and it's fine to not be able to understand something and question it. That's perfectly fine. You know, if you don't understand it, you should question it until you understand it. That's life, right? It's just a real simple process. But as far as the odds go, the things that have been happening this last decade, for like the last 10 years, if men, women, animals, if we weren't affecting our environment negatively, the odds are so astronomical. It's as if you just won the lottery 10 times in a row. It's about the same amount of odds. So do you think, I mean, most of us realize you're not going to win the lottery. You still buy a ticket. You dream a little. It's more of a poor man's game. Okay. I know I buy a lottery ticket. You know, have fun with the ticket. Don't check the numbers for a few days. Get your dollars worth out. That's what I do. Anyhow, but imagine winning it 10 times in a row. Astronomical odds. Well, that's about the same as the things that have been happening in the last 10 years occurring without any input from humans. Okay, so yeah, you're wrong. You're really, really wrong. So it's the same kind of principle. So here we are. This is the result of our actions. We allowed these people to go into office. People can vote. You know, you can get out and vote. It adds up, and you can stop bad people from getting in office. Sure, you can. But everybody has to care about that and actually do their American duty. There's a lot of card-carrying members out there who just have a card. They don't ever live up to what that card stands for. So I told you guys that prices were going to go up, availability wasn't going to happen. And if we go through some of the, you know, let's just hit some of the highlights here. Water heaters. Tanked water heaters are still available. Okay. But because tankless water heaters and hybrid heaters and a variety of heaters that have electronics connected to them are in very short supply in most of the world, not just America, but in the world, that has caused an incredible issue in the supply chain. You can't get them, but you can get regular water heaters. But they're kind of tight too, because if you can't get the other ones, then you've got to have a water heater to heat the water. So you're buying whatever you can get your hands on. Well, companies aren't nonprofit. Rheem Water Heater Company doesn't operate for the good of mankind. Now, they do some good stuff. I like Rheem heaters, personally. If I am sitting in front of a Rheem heater and an A.O. Smith, I'll probably go with the Rheem. It's just, you know, that's what I would do. But they're not in it for you know, just goodness. They have staff, they have people, they have plants, they have bills to pay. They're in it to make money. When the demand goes up and they're already having problems with their tankless heaters because they can't get the parts to build them or to maintain them, they're going to sell what they've got and they're going to raise the prices and they're going to make some money because they're losing money over on the other side. So water heaters have gone up exponentially. And depending on the brand and where you live and the size, some of them have gone up as much as 150%. Some have gone 30%. And that was in less than a year. That's less than four quarters. So a quarter has not gone by that somebody hasn't raised something at least 12 to 15%. So if you didn't do what I suggested, which was, hey, look at the age of your water heater. If it's going to be, you know, within the next couple of years, you might want to go ahead and change it now. Well, that still applies, but you just basically took anywhere from $250 to $1,000, walked out in front of your house, and just threw it up in the air and walked away. You just did that. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have $250 to $1,000 that I can walk out to the sidewalk and just fling it up in the air and feel good about it and walk back in my house. If you do, well, good for you. You should tune out of this podcast because we won't be of much help to you. Nothing will. You're good to go and you need no one. You can go travel abroad because you have more money than God and you're good. But most people, that's not the case, is it? Even if you have a little money, let's say you're pulling down $300,000-$400,000, you are not so stupid as to walk out front and do that. If you're just going to give the money, you would want to direct where it goes, to what charity, to what person, to what event, whatever it is. You wouldn't just sling it out on the sidewalk. It's almost rude. And for those of you who know me, you know how I feel about rude people. So you just threw that away. Now, the question is, do you want to do that again? Because a year from now, it will probably be about twice what it is now. So, okay, you got another chance to deal with that. I would go look at the age of your water heater. Hey, if it's on the verge, had it for a while, you know, talk to your plumber. If you have a decent plumber, he'll give you an honest answer. Nah, leave it alone. It'll be good for another 10 years. Okay, then leave it alone. If he says that it's on the verge, well, do something about it. It's the right thing to do. Otherwise, you're just throwing the money away. So heaters, that's an interesting issue. Various faucets in China, because of electronics being difficult to get a hold of, a lot of machinery, and this is kind of sort of ironic, you know, you hear a lot of people complain about jobs going to animation, and it's true, you know, it's not a lie, it's coming, and there's some of that has happened. I mean, it's very true. It's not made up. Machines have not taken over the whole world, though. You know, I mean, it's something you have to put in perspective, but it is real. But if you can't get the parts and the machines break down, then you got a problem. Because, you know, Jim, Joe, and George used to make that toilet by hand. And they made 100 of them a day. But that's all they could make is 100 of them a day. But your fancy Sony Matic gypsum whatever machine, you know, whatever you want to call it, the XM45,000, it was able to put out 1,000 toilets a day of that particular kind and brand. You're so proud of it. So you fired those three guys because, you know, your machine makes a lot more. But now your machine's broken, you can't get parts. So now you're making zero toilets. So, as always with anything, you've heard me say this before, moderation is a wonderful thing. You know, technology is a wonderful thing. You can't dump all your eggs in one basket. Have some machines, but also have some people who can do the work of the machines if the machines break. And have some machines in case the people get sick and can't come to work. In case of a pandemic. But a balance. Everything's about a balance. So large companies, and I'm going to name off a couple just to give you name recognition, but it doesn't mean they're necessarily having a problem. It's just so you get that mental picture. But, you know, Moen and Kohler and these large companies, various ones that make China fixtures and faucets, they do so many runs of a certain type faucet. K1234, we're going to do 500 of those, and then we'll do 500 more in a couple of months. But if part of the assembly line breaks down because of issues, well, they can't, they have to retool manually or whatever it is, whatever those reasons are, it makes things harder to put them out. So it takes longer and prices tend to rise because of demand. So I have customers who've waited now 6 months for a certain faucet that they wanted. Luckily, the cabinet company was booked for 6 months, so it didn't matter. So we ordered it. Who cares? I have people typically waiting several weeks for just simple things. Simple things. I have a customer I'm doing a repipe for. I'm literally meeting them Monday to just go over some more details. Not going to start the job for a couple more weeks, but a variety of the fittings and things needed to do that repiping won't even be here till maybe the end of next week. Just simple things. Not available. But luckily, we've planned ahead. Got some of the, you know, no one's in the house, so it's not like anyone's inconvenienced. The water's turned off. There's no leaking going on with the water turned off. But when bad things are happening, makes it really difficult. Can't, you know, you don't have those things on hand. So always staying ahead of the game, having the right scenario, which you get from having the right plumber. We're going to touch on that in just a minute. So I'll give you the general warning one more time, as I did before. If there's things you're planning in the relatively near future, the next few months, get your stuff now. Go order that dishwasher. Go, if you're going to remodel the laundry room, go order that washer and dryer. Doesn't matter if it's sitting in a box in your garage and it's way before you're ready to do the other. If you don't have the stuff you need, you're dead in the water when the project starts. And then everything is on hold. And the people that were working for you, they can't just sit around and wait on your stuff to come in because you weren't smart enough to order in advance. No, they're going to go on to the next job and you're going to have to wait. Then you have a tore up area and you still don't have your stuff. So it's like adding insult to injury. So order your stuff now. If the water heater is getting old, change it before it leaks. Because your water heater might be your water heater might be in a real narrow closet and you can only use this certain type without expending a whole bunch of extra money to move the water heater. Okay? And now it's leaking all over the floor. And you're in a big hurry. But they don't have your heater. Nobody does. Yeah, it's one of those scenarios where now you're paying a ton of money to relocate a heater somewhere else, paying an electrician to move the line, the plumber. It just, oh boy, you just made a mess for no real reason. And money's still cheap right now, and it probably will be for a while. You know, you're going to see it fluctuate, just like normal things, you know. Yes, we're coming out of a pandemic. People are hiring. You're going to see interest rates floating around a little bit, but money's still pretty cheap. So if you need to borrow a little money to buy your stuff and have it sit in your garage till you're ready to put it in, do it. And won't hurt anything, but do it. Faucets, fixtures, all those things are affected. Most of those things are not built by hand. I had several emails while I was swamped that came in, people jokingly and sarcastically in a good way, reminding me that not all my podcasts have thrown out a plumbing secret. So I'm consciously trying to always make sure from here on out that we hit some secrets or hit some tidbits or tips or whatever you want to call them. But in keeping with today's podcast and the reminder to do the right thing, I'm going to go back to a fundamental tip of picking and knowing your plumber. Because in so many ways, that is the crux of everything that will help you and unlock so many plumbing secrets. Is having someone you can trust. Somebody you can leave a $100 bill on the counter and you know they're not going to take it. You can leave grandma's 1-carat diamond earrings on the sink and he's there working all day and you come home and they're still sitting there on the sink. And that's kind of a lame example, but he gives you a bill and it's $1,200. And you don't question it because you know he's not going to cheat you. Every bit of it's correct. You can pay him with confidence, or her. So, friend of mine, an old friend of mine, haven't talked to him in a long time, but he used to refer to me lovingly as his personal plumber. And that kind of caught on. And then a lot of other people started using that same verb. It was a joke, really, but it really wasn't either. So, I mean, you have a personal chef, right? But that's what you need in reality, is your own personal plumber. I don't care if you make $30,000 a year or $300,000 a year. You need to know your plumber. You need to trust your plumber. And there are some, for those of you who don't have one, you've moved to a new area. There is no, I'm sipping on coffee right now. That's what that dramatic pause was. It wasn't dramatic at all. There is no surefire way when you move to a new area. But some tricks are. Look for a company, for starters, that has a person's name. But then call them and ask for that person. That person should be available. Even if they're not available right now, they might call you back that afternoon or the next morning or something. So let's say it's Joe Harvey Plumbing. Well, call him up. Hey, is Joe there? I have a question for Joe. If they say, I'm sorry, he's not available. Can I help you? Then no, I appreciate you offering, but I really wanted to talk to Joe. And can I give you my number and have him call me back? And then when Joe calls you back, you tell Joe what you did. Hey, listen, I just moved here. And I was really calling, kind of just testing the waters. I wanted to know that, you know, Joe Harvey Plumbing was actually a person. They really own the company. And anyhow, that's a surefire way to help you. Now, that guy could be a crook for all you know. But that's a good start. Is knowing who they are, okay? Online reviews, when online reviews first started, it was actually pretty cool. It was a good thing. It was very pure, actually. But then people caught on that they could just put reviews on there. Just go to a different IP address. Have their friends do it. And so you have these people with thousands of recommendations. If you were to go to my site and look at the number of plumbing recommendations, you'd be amazed. There's not that many. They're all good recommendations, and they are. If you looked at the cross section of them, they're pretty good variety. Some people older, some people younger, some people were project, some people were just a little service call, whatever. But I do not ask people to leave. Very very seldom. If it comes up in conversation, I might say something like, appreciate it if you leave a recommendation if you have time. But I don't actively do that, ever. If they feel strongly enough to go online because they were either happy, sad, or indifferent, whatever it is, and leave a comment, well, thank you very much. Either way, good or bad, doesn't matter. Please do it. And I feel like that's the honest way to handle that. And when you look in perspective, granted, we haven't had the internet since 1928, but you have had Harris Plumbing since 1928. So people have been around a long time, and they now have computers. They've mostly figured it out. But you put that in perspective and you think, wow, this is a company. Ed, my friend, who I listened to his podcast, his family's company has been around since 28. We all know how long the internet's been around. So they've been out there on the internet since it cracked open. And this is the references that I found online. It's not a ton. They're all good. Nice little variety. But it's not like there are hundreds or thousands of them on there. And then you'll go to another plumbing company and you look and they'll say, serving you since 1974. Okay. So they've been around at least as long as the internet has, and they've got like 1,500 recommendations. Now, if you believe that those are all real, I got some land to sell to you because you're a sucker. I'll sell you a bridge real cheap. Sunshine Skyway. Meet me down there. I'll even make up a little deed for you. But have cash, because you won't see me again after I take that cash. I'm serious. When you see all these, they're not real. It's very adulterated. And it's sad because it's kind of nice having those if they're real. When they're real, it's nice to see what people say. Now, consumer products, there's still a lot of good validity to that. Because manufacturers make so many products, they would go broke trying to pay people to go on and put fake reviews. It'd be a little tough to do that. But for these individual companies, honestly, you really can't go by that. And if they have more than like 100, I would avoid them. That's actually a red flag. I wouldn't call them. If they have more than about 100, I would move on to the next plumber. Because there's something wrong. People just don't do that. Okay? And it's not real. So, and there are plenty of people that have those that will say, oh, absolutely, every single one of them are real. Yeah, they'll sell you that land too, that bridge. But, so that's a good indicator. Now, just because it doesn't have somebody's name in the title, I want to use an example here locally. We have a company here called Dunedin Plumbing. Yeah, they've been around for a while. The owners are two brothers. Their dad started out working for my granddad. So, they're good people. But what you would do is look them up online, and it'd be really easy to see that it was two brothers. So you call them, but it's called Dunedin Plumbing, so you may not know their name until you've called. Hey, can I speak to one of the brothers and who are the owners? Sure, they're not in right now. Have them give me a call. And then you do that same process. And people that are good people, like they are, for instance, they will come out to your house. You're new, you're in the area, they'll look around. They'll say, okay, you know, you need to keep an eye on this, this, and this. We need to schedule this water heater sometime in the near future. This faucet isn't going to last you very long. By the way, you got our leaky faucet, hose bib outside. Give us a call when you're ready. That's what a good plumber does. Okay? It's all about the long term. It's not about trying to retire on one service call. And that's what you're looking for. So again, having that personal relationship where you can leave them a key or give them a key or give them the code to the house or not worry about who's home when they come because they'll do the right thing. And in the middle of a pandemic, they'll show up with a mask on their face, even if they're fully vaccinated and know that you're fully vaccinated. They're just doing the right thing regardless of their own personal political beliefs or whatever. Doesn't matter. They're just doing the right thing. That's the kind of plumber you're looking for. That's the kind of trust you're looking for. And not every plumber's going to know everything. That's another thing. If they don't know, a good plumber will say, you know, I don't know the answer to that, but I'll find out the answer and get back with you. Then you know you've got a gem. You're with who you need to be. And that can be old or young or in between. So that's some tips on how to find somebody and start that relationship and build the trust and pay your bill. Okay? If somebody's being dishonest, by all means, fight tooth and nail. But, you know, if you knew what it was going to be and they stuck to their budget and no big surprises and anything that came up, they brought to your attention immediately, pay the bill and don't hem and haw about it. Don't try and do that at the end when it's time to pay for the bill. That just means you're a bad person. So you do that and then you move forward. Now on a, not exactly a personal note, but on a interesting thing, we had some very interesting elections and a lot of focus on the Virginia race is now the fear or perceived fear that the guy that won. And congratulations, by the way, to the voters who showed up to vote this guy in. I may completely disagree with you on every issue, but I do agree with the fact that you showed up and voted. Good for you. That's patriotic. That's the real deal. Personally, the guy's a hack, and I can't say that your judgment was all that great, but I'm glad you voted. It was the right thing to do. And that's who you wanted to vote for. And by God, that's who you should vote for. That's who you want to vote for. Shouldn't be any question. No one should influence your vote, including the person you're voting for, aside from the fact of you feeling like that's the person for that job. Personally, I think he's a hack, but the big concern is apparently that this guy is going to get into office now and then turn Virginia into Texas with the abortion law. And while that is a valid concern for somebody that is not promoting abortion, but promoting the choice that should be between a woman and her doctor, not you and your preacher. To hell with you and your preacher. I could give a crap less what you think or your preacher. I don't go to church with you, so I don't have to believe what you personally believe. But I do have to believe in freedom of choice here in the greatest country on the planet. It used to be. And you don't get to tell some woman what she can do or not do with her body. So, yeah, that is a concern, and I understand that. And I think it's important to realize that maybe a bunch of people didn't take that very seriously, because it was well documented that this guy was basically lying, saying he was one way to get through to the general election and then win, and then he was going to do what he wants to do. That's not who you want in office, ever. You want somebody that stands by their word, not that lies to you before they ever even make it into office. But on a personal note, my concern is what he's going to do environmentally and related to businesses that are related to the manufacturing of plumbing parts and plumbing and things like that. And it ain't good. He's basically a combination of a bean counter and a con artist all mixed together. So he's in it for himself and his friends and for whatever they can make out of this. And that's the ironic part, I guess, is all those people that voted for him, he could care less if you lived or died. All he cares about is how much money he can make for he and his friends and his family. So basically, if your concern was about somebody being dishonest or mistrustful or same old, well, you didn't elect a guy that was any different than any of the rest of them. You elected a crook. And that is my concern, the obvious concern. We'll see what he does on the other stuff. And yes, yes, it's true. You can vote somebody out. That is very true. But the damage that will be done over 4 years can take 10 years to recover. The damage that was done to our country from 2017 to 2020 may take 20 years to overcome. Literally. And out of the people that have died from COVID, maybe half of them didn't have to die. I mean, I am really glad that they ramped up the vaccination thing and got it going as fast as they could. That was one very positive thing. But why would you spend all that money and all that effort to ramp that up, but then tell people not to take it? So, yes. Our government cost people's lives. They died unnecessarily. And their dying comments were, I was wrong. I should have never listened to those people. They're, essentially they're calling them hacks. And then they died. So, but still people won't listen. So I hope we can move ahead. You're going to have to be spry in this new world we have currently and make sure you're ready to bump and slide whatever direction you need to go to look out for you and your family. I had somebody the other day, it was kind of funny on a side note. They were saying, they made the comment about, boy, I hope there's not going to be a civil war. They said it with that southern accent. Because, the Republicans are the ones that have all the guns. I love them that they think like that. If that's how they think, then it's just hilarious. We have a lot of problems here in America. Currently, supply chain issue. But aside from that, we have a lot of problems here, okay? And we have problems that'll be around for a while that take years and decades and sometimes a century to overcome, but we'll overcome them. And yeah, some people just have to like pass on before we can get past it. But one problem that we have that has come up in many different talks is we do have a love of guns here in America. And there's a lot of explanations why. There's a lot of romantic explanations, the Wild Wild West, all that good stuff. That we've never gotten over all that. And then the frontierness of our world here in America. But we do have an issue. But it is not a Republican thing. And it's not a Democrat thing. It's an American thing. Americans love guns. And they have them and hold them and keep them. And people don't even know that other people have them. And there, if you want to look at things statistically, there's a lot more Democrats than there are Republicans. And I got to tell you, Democrats love their guns just as much as Republicans do. And they got just as many guns, if not more. So for you to sit around thinking that Republicans have all the guns, you're an idiot. And no, we're not going to have a civil war. And those days are past us. And there may be skirmishes every once in a while. But it doesn't matter who's president. Those skirmishes won't last very long, and it will not be the end of the world. Our apathy is what will undo us, not external things like the number of guns we have. Yes, the number of guns we have is ridiculous. It's a joke. But until we create, it doesn't have to be a utopia, but until we create a space that we all can exist in, or most of us can exist in, that has some relative harmony to it. Okay? We don't all have to agree. Everything doesn't have to be perfect, but there has to be some relative harmony. Then people are going to be upset. People are going to be fearful. There will be plenty of people who are in need that have no other choice but to steal. And then that carries them down that path, which is never good. Gets them killed very easily. Our Stone Age beliefs get us killed all the time. Those Stone Age beliefs are what still cause us to look at a person's skin color. Okay? There's those that think that it's important to understand and point out people's differences in skin color. There are those that think it's important to just everyone be colorblind. Both of you are idiots, I have to tell you. Neither are important and both are important. It's a balance. It's always, as in everything, a balance. And when we have enough people that finally get that, and understand that, maybe we'll reach some of that relative harmony, okay? And maybe there won't be any plumbing secrets left at that point because everyone will understand how things work and how well they work. But right now, they don't work well. And that's why there's so many secrets of all types and kinds. I want to say thank you to everybody. I did make a long podcast, if you've noticed your clock. It was on purpose. I should have told you at the beginning, but I forgot, quite honestly. It was longer because I've been away and kind of wanted to catch you up and wanted to cover some serious topics. And again, don't forget the title. It was just me being funny and sarcastic. But yeah, I did tell you so. Anyhow, take care. Be safe. We'll get another podcast in the next probably 3 weeks. And as always, I love all your emails. You've got the email address, plumbingsecrets@yahoo.com. Love your correspondence. I do turn that correspondence around as quickly as possible. So keep the emails coming. And we'll turn out another one. And remember, hey, what do I know? I'm just a plumber. Take care, y'all.